pornography. I dare say that it is probably the most pervasive secret sin in our churches today. I don't like to talk about this topic. It's uncomfortable, you know, especially in a church setting. It's a little easier today, but in a church setting, you have people of different genders and you have people of different age, and you have to be very careful how to talk. There are generational differences. The younger people today are much freely spoken about sexuality than a generation ago. And what doesn't mean anything to them is offensive to the other generation. So it's kind of a hard thing to talk about. But I have decided, and in the last 5 years, I've at least preached twice on this topic from the pulpit, and I've had classes that address this, because I have come to realize that this is a pervasive sin among Christian men and women. And I know it's uncomfortable, but listen, it's the elephant in the room. I did a series of lessons on the elephant in the room, and we talked about things that everybody acknowledges, but nobody wants to talk about it. They know it's there, but they don't want to address it. And there are topics like that, and this is one of them. Nobody wants to address pornography, but it needs to be addressed. We need to talk about it, and we need to do better as people of God with reference to this. I am kind of a computer geek. I like computers. I do computer repair. And, you know, word got out years ago that I knew a little bit about computers. So what happens is the congregation then has a free tech support guy. You know, and they'll say, "Hey, Steve, my computer's not doing right. Can you come over and take a look at it?" And so I did that a lot. I did it enough to know that a lot of our people in the congregations have computer or have pornography problems, because I would stumble onto all kinds of things, and it made quite awkward situation as I was working on their computer. I taught high school class for many years, and high school and junior high combined. And so it was kids that were in seventh grade. And I would ask, and I would always, you know, make this disclaimer up front, because I didn't want anybody to, you know, I wanted them to be honest on the response that they gave me. And I had them write it down. I didn't even ask for their names. But I would ask, "How many of you have watched porn?" And I'd say, and I'm not saying that you went looking for it. You know, that's my disclaimer. You're not looking for it, but you stumbled onto it and you saw it. And you didn't want to see it, but you saw it. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. How many of you have ever seen pornography? In 20 years of teaching that high school class in Glasgow, Kentucky, there was only one person that said, "I've not viewed pornography." These are kids. And the one person that said, "I haven't viewed it," was somebody whose parents didn't have a computer. Everybody else was there. And I wasn't, you know, trying to say, "Well, you're doing it on purpose," and I'm not naive enough to know to think that it was all accidental. But I'm just saying, our kids are being affected by this, as well as adults who are being affected by this. But it's something that the average age of one's exposure to pornography, according to a porn site itself, said that it's the age of 11. That's the average age of the introduction to pornography. What impact does that have on our brains and on the way we think when that has been a lifelong thing? It's hard to break those habits. I have counseled failing marriages because of pornography. And the guy that's involved in pornography doesn't seem to see what the big deal is. It's not like he's going out and cheating. That's the words he said. I'm just looking. Totally blind to the ethic of Jesus. Just last month in Nashville, Tennessee, I don't know if the news reaches down here, but a preacher in the Lord's church was arrested for uploading child pornography. Not downloading, uploading. In other words, he was involved in taking pictures of children and uploading them to share with other people. What a blot on the name of the church because of this. And friends, it's pervasive. Barna survey said that 54% of Christian men, 54%, more than half of Christian men view pornography regularly, at least once a month. And 31% of women do as well. Like I said, it's not just a man problem. It's regardless of the gender, it's out there. It's pervasive. And we can't ignore it. We have to address this. And as embarrassing and awkward as it may be, we've got to speak up on it. If we need to move our women in one class and our men in another class, then do it, but address the issue because it is pervasive in your churches and it's pervasive among preachers who sit a great portion of the day behind a computer and fall into, I don't think anybody does it intentionally, but they fall into that. And so I want to give you 3 points that I want you to take home and think about. The first point is this: guard your mind. You need to guard your mind. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You've got to change what you're thinking about, You've got to change the way you think. Matthew 5 and verse 8, and this really disturbs me because he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, what if you're not pure in heart? There's no promise of seeing God. There are a lot of men and women who have impure hearts and nobody knows about it but them. It's their secret sin that they have been protecting, and they may go to judgment with an impure heart. It'll keep them out of heaven. This means something. It's a frightening thing. And, you know, while I'm going to give you something here in just a minute, but while I offer this up, I want you to know that the heart needs changed, but sometimes it's things that trigger. You know, you're doing your own thing on ESPN, and there's an ad that pops up, and you see it, and it triggers that mind and causes you to click a link that you would later regret doing. Here's my first point. If you're going to guard your heart and your mind, maybe you need to set some things in place to keep you from stumbling into this kind of sin and temptation. There are all kind of porn filters. You can download them, put them on your computer. There are some that are easy to break through, I'm sure. I've heard that. But there are others that you can have somebody else have the password and keep yourself safe. If you can't manage it yourself, keep yourself from those things that will trigger that kind of a response. There are apps you don't need to have on your phone. Sometimes our teenagers especially, they're on TikTok or something, and they can just flip one video after another, and so many of them are salacious. They're horrible, and you're feeding your mind on that, and it just leads from one thing to another. Get rid of those apps. Get rid of the websites. Have some kind of an accountability partner. I've had people that was accountability partners for. They couldn't handle it. They kept falling to temptation, and they didn't want to. And so they said, I've got this software that will send you every website I visit. And because they don't want to be embarrassed to me, in front of me, that was motivation for them to say, I'm not going to click on that because Steve will see it. If you have a problem with that, get with your elders and say, will you be my accountability partner? Do something. And I'll tell you, and we often do this passage. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30, Jesus said, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. You remember that? And whenever we read that verse, the first thing that we explain is, now that doesn't mean we literally pluck out our eyes. Well, of course it doesn't, but it means something. It means you've got to sometimes take extreme measures to keep yourself from sin. And I don't think we're doing that. I think we fail, and then we fail again, and then we fail again, and we're not doing anything to stop the pattern. Maybe for some of us, we need to get rid of our computers. Maybe we don't need a smartphone. We need to go back to one of those old Motorola flip phones that like our parents used to have. Or I used to have way back when, and you have to text terribly difficult. But maybe you can't do or you put some things in place so that this doesn't affect you. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. The pure in heart will not see God. It's a matter of heaven or hell. The second thing, guard your mind, but also fill your mind. You got to fill your mind. It's not enough to get rid of the pornography. You have to fill it with something in its place. Do you remember the story that Jesus told in Matthew 12 about a man that had a demon in him, and that demon was left that man? And it describes his body as being empty, swept, and clean. After that demon was gone. Shoo, man, I had this demon in my life, and now it's gone. And then it was empty, swept, and clean, but that demon came back with seven other buddies and took up residence because he didn't fill it. It's one thing to get rid of the porn, but you've got to fill that void with something that's good. Bible study, thoughts of God, prayer. You can't just have that empty void and expect it not to come back. And then the third thing is weigh the consequences. Man, the shame of being found out, and you will be. The shame. Paul warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, this guy who'd committed fornication with his father's wife, he's repented, and you guys, you really need to make him aware that you love him and that you've forgiven him, because the shame of what he's done may overcome him, and he may walk away. It's embarrassing. How would you like to be that preacher in Franklin, Tennessee, just south of Nashville, who's now destroyed his reputation? And it happens all the time. I teach in the School of Preaching in Knoxville, and I can tell you it'd take more than two hands. In the 13 years I've been in Knoxville, it'll take more than two hands to enumerate the guys who went through preaching school and who came out of preaching school and they made terrible messes because of pornography. It's pervasive. The shame, the impact you will have on people, you'll hurt your family, you'll hurt your friends. We all have influence on somebody. We're not an island unto ourselves, Romans 14 and verse 7. And then your relationship with God. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says something we need to give more thought to. Without holiness, you're not going to see God. We may deceive ourselves and think, I can just keep this secret sin and go my way. You can't. Without holiness, you'll not see God. So here's what I leave you with. 1 John 4 and verse 4. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there were people who struggled, but they overcame it, and so can you.